sound voice.
Check 1, 2, 2. Check, check 2. Check, bring the check. Ready to pay for the check? Checky Chan.
My parents.
Hang on. Now you can talk.
My parents used to think that I talked literally just to hear the sound of my own voice.
The sound of my own voice. In a world of voices that have sounds. Why?
Hey, Robbie, my thingy is not right.
What's that mean? Pinchy the things and then spinny the things. I think what happens is I need to turn off the noise gate. I need to turn off the compressor.
Is that like the Stargate?
It's the Fargate. Oh, ducking. You have ducking on too for some reason. I don't know why.
I don't have ducking.
I have Big Bottom on.
I always have Big Bottom on.
I love it. You got it? Now you got to pinch them?
Pinchins.
Squeezies.
Oh. Okay. Because you said I had to have the words
next. Yeah, you have the words on your face.
Okay.
Okay, so I've started recording, and there will be no intro to this because this is kind of like a one-off. We're going to consider this dinner and a movie.
Yes.
We're
calling it private screenings.
Yes, we have a hurricane bearing down on us. So as Floridians do,
introduce yourself.
I will. Okay. But as Floridians do, these hurricanes, it's supposed to start tonight. It's supposed to hit sometime tomorrow night. So being proper Floridians, we went and got propane, and I grilled a steak tonight.
And beer.
We put a little bit of gas in the car just in case. But we're Floridians and hurricanes. Sorry.
I mean, it's a cat, too. We're probably literally going to sleep.
We literally already have two cats in our house. I can do it. This is not a problem. So this is Rob.
And the hurricane's not going to pee on stuff. It's and I'm true. Heather.
We are missing Carrie this time because this was kind of an impromptu.
And I just want you to know we always miss Carrie. Carrie, we miss you. We hate COVID.
We were actually going to call her, but it was it's fairly late, and I didn't feel like bothering her. And it was kind of like a last-minute decision. But we watched one of my favorite movies of all time. And Heather had never seen it, of course, because that's the whole flavor of this. So I was like, you know what? Let's have dinner and a movie. We'll call this our private screening. And then we'll just kind of get into it. We'll make it a little easier. It won't be as robust of a conversation, so I apologize. Carrie is kind of our anchor in that sense. So this may go off the rails a little bit more. I'm a little bit sorry about that, okay?
Just so you know, you're listening to Film Nerds and Film Noobs podcast, and we thank you
know
for
it.
Now.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
All right. So what did we watch?
Okay, so we watched 1991's The Rocketeer. Done by Walt Disney Studios. Sorry about that popping noise. That was my phone. One of my favorite films. I've watched this probably 3 million bajillion times. And it never gets old. It's one of the films that I could pick up and watch any time of the day. The only reason we haven't watched it as a couple is because, one, I didn't know how you were going to feel about this movie, to be honest. And then, two, when we started this whole podcast thing, this is a movie that's always been on my list of things that I want to watch with you. And so I've been actively steering us away from watching it, even though I get like a little kid now. We could watch this right now again, and I will be just perfectly fine. I'll get another beer, and we'll watch the movie again. That's how much I enjoy this movie.
Would you like to know my initial reaction?
I would, yes.
This film is a delight.
Isn't it? It's got, okay. and it could be because it's a Disney movie.
I have thoughts on that too.
But it's got, and it's so sad that it never did anything. But
didn't it?
Well, kind of, we'll get into that. But it's got all the hallmarks and all the makings of what could have been a fantastic franchise. And, I really don't know why it's not. I can tell you, I can give you all the facts and stuff. And the only thing I can think of is maybe people kind of got burnt out on these movies. And we'll kind of touch on other ones that were in this vein and kind of like what else was around this time. So, yeah.
This, to me, first of all, it's pretty. It's shot well. It's lit well. It's got that fun 1939, 1940s. look and the costumes and the Art Deco.
Yeah, this is set in 1938, so you have that like beginning Art Deco, and of course you know how decades like the always work with spillover. Hollywood
look.
Yeah, so it's got that 40s Hollywood era because you know this is the decades always spill over a few years.
But it,
so you have this basically 36 to 43 ish era of that kind of just gorgeous. Extravagance.
Yeah.
That Hollywood is known for. Yeah.
Like. But you know what? And here's the other thing. It has that, not blandness, but that kind of genericness that feels very Disney.
Okay. And there's a reason for that.
Well,
we'll actually get into why that is that way.
Interesting. And it also.
Because the original is not that way. The comic, because okay. This was originally a graphic novel written in the 80s.
Okay.
And the original story was a little more, was a little less tame, a little darker. Yeah.
This film also does what I think Disney films that we grew up with did very well.
Get up on that microphone for me.
Did really, really well, which was take people and put them in extraordinarily dangerous scenes, but show it in a way where a kid was like, oh, I could do that. Like being set on fire is nothing. Like there's that one scene in the very end where the guy with the big face.
Lothar.
Yes. And his prosthetics were amazing, by the way.
Again, another Disney staple is
so good.
Show me a bad Disney movie like that. Like exactly. Where it's, they put money into it. You know, it just doesn't happen.
But the prosthetics are so good. But he's swinging around.
That giant wrench.
Yeah. No. He crashes through several windows. Yeah. Through the airplane, you think that he's dead. Yeah, sorry, the Zeppelin. Yeah. Crashed through several airplane, you know, several windows, obviously dead. He's like hanging suspended by a cable, you know, written off as dead. But it's not gory and it's not bloody.
Think about how much blood you saw in this movie.
None.
And you commented, no, there is.
No. There is the very... There's the very handsome blood. First of all, everyone out of
A PG-13 movie, too.
Everyone out of this 90s. Film looks like they're out of central casting.
Yes.
You needed a leading man and leading man hair.
Okay.
Which we talked about.
Do you want to get in this real quick?
No, hold on. But we talked about this hair a lot. Every white boy I have ever dated has that hair.
Well, you know, it was the 90s. It was a thing.
Right. When you had hair,
It was close to that, yes.
Mine
was a little blonder, though.
Staple white boy Disney leading man hair.
Well, you know, it's easy to maintain. It's easy to do. You know,
it's classic.
Who was it? The JTT, that guy?
Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
He had that was my haircut.
Okay.
Growing up. Because he and I are about the same age. Roughly. I think I'm a little older. I don't know. He's more popular. He has more money. So
not anymore. He had a drug problem. He's bald now. He's on TikTok.
I'm bald and I'm not on TikTok. So he's still one up on me. I look at TikTok. Anyway. It's conventional. And of course, Disney took the script and went very, I'm not going to say very, but this script got milled out quite a bit. Fun fact, this script was 5 years in the rewrites.
No.
They actually hired and fired the writers 3 times. The same writer. No, the same writers.
There's not that much to the story.
It's good. No, it's so good. So originally written as a comic.
Okay.
By this guy named, and of course I'm going to mess his name up, but I apologize to the guy. Dave Stevens is his name. So he writes a story. Okay.
Okay.
He
based on the comic.
No, this is his comic. He's the guy who wrote the actual original. The original.
Who published the comic?
I don't remember.
It's not like a Marvel.
No. This was like a little one. So he, when he writes it, I think that was me hitting the table. So the guy writes the story, Dave Stevens, right? Writes the comic book. And immediately in his head, he's like, this is a film.
Sure.
He knew from the get-go he wanted to have this as a film.
Okay.
He sold the rights to... I wrote it down here. Sold the rights. I have no joke. You can look here. Three pages of notes.
But...
I know.
Which is funny, though, because I don't feel like... I don't know what you would write about for 3 pages for this film.
So this guy named Miner is the guy who got the rights. But he strayed so far from the original content that they reverted back to Dave Stevens.
Okay.
So then he optioned the rights to these other guys. And eventually got to Disney, who was going to put it under one of their, like, Touchstone brands or something.
Okay.
Disney immediately saw this and thought toys. They literally only wanted this property for the merchandising. Because they actually didn't really care about the story. And this is
they were going to Star Wars it.
Well, essentially, yeah. So, and originally, like, there was a lot of changes. Like, Eisner at the time wanted the helmet to be like a NASA helmet. Like, he wanted, like, the face shield and all that stuff. So, the guy, Johnston, who directed this, who actually, you will, if I name some of his things, Joe Johnston, who produced Willow. He directed Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
No!
The Pagemaster. Do you remember that one?
No.
We may have to watch that one, because that's a movie from my childhood that I really enjoyed. Jumanji, the first one.
We've seen that.
October Sky.
Never saw
Jurassic
it.
Jurassic Park 3. And Captain America, the First Avenger. That's the guy who directed this movie.
Shut the front door.
This is also the guy. Hang on. And this is why this movie looks so good. He is the guy who did the visual effects for Star Wars. Most, I think, the first two. And then two of the Indiana Jones movies.
He loves making films with people that fly.
Yeah, well, there you go.
With that same hair. That he's got Captain America hair.
Well, there's a whole thing to it. So anyway, so it gets to these two guys who I wrote down here, which actually was really kind of funny that they got fired three times. Bilson and DeMeo, D-E-M-E-O. These two writers brought a 7-page script, treatment. Usually there's a treatment you bring to a production house. Oh, sorry, I didn't know. I'm just trying to, so usually for our listeners, you make a treatment, which is basically just a, hey, this is how the movie works. It's a synopsis, if you will, but it's a little longer than a synopsis.
But it's got like some character points.
Exactly. It's basically an outline of a plot. We'll make it that way. Okay?
Yeah.
Real, to make it simple. It's kind of a little more complicated than that, but that's essentially what it is. So they bring the 7-page treatment to Disney. They do a first
draft. That's pretty long for a treatment, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little long. But they remember they were trying to push this, and Disney didn't want it. So they actually got turned down by a number of studios.
Oh, so this is their big pitch.
This was a superhero movie before superhero movies. This is before Batman.
Is it a superhero?
This is before Dick Tracy. This is before Batman. This is before Dick Tracy. So
you mean
this has not been established yet? Like, well, this style of film.
Well, yes. No, that's not true.
Yeah.
No, because the only Superman was making films.
That's not
in the '30s.
Yeah, exactly. That's not the same kind of superhero. You're talking about an invincible alien versus a guy down on his luck who gets something.
A super suit.
You know what I'm saying? So there's a difference. I do not consider Superman a superhero movie. The old '30s stuff. That was. I have feelings about that. And I'm sure people out there would hate me, but
Batman movie.
What was the Batman? The 1980.
Ew.
The 1918. Jesus, Ram. The Keaton one.
Oh, the 90s?
Yeah, I can't remember. The 94? I can't know.
What about Dick Tracy?
What about Dick Tracy?
When was Dick Tracy?
I don't recall. But this script came. So the movie may have been made later, and I don't
remember
the dates. I'd have to look up the dates. But this script is from the 80s.
Okay.
When it was written. And so he'd been shopping it around.
So.
And it took 5 years. Okay. Hang on. Let me finish.
All right.
So these two guys who wrote the treatment, write the first script. Disney says no. Fires them. Hires more people. They hate the way it goes. Fires the people. Hire the original guys back. Another set. No. Fire them. Scenes that... This went on three times in 5 years. Scenes that had been cut from the original script were included into like the third iteration, the fourth iteration. So there was a whole bunch of back and forth.
Is that why it's kind of like hard to tell who the G-men are and who the mobsters are?
Well,
and
that's intentional.
Okay.
Because you aren't supposed to care about them as much.
Now,
you don't. On cinema, on a screen, you kind of have to. You have to make it a little different, but in a comic book, they would have just been faceless goons, all of them. Even the G-Men were technically faceless goons. I mean, look how they were portrayed.
No, that's true. I mean, they were not dissimilar from the mafia people. It's just that when you have a bunch of people on film, you assume that you're supposed to know what side they're on.
And that, you're not supposed to care, because the only people you're supposed to care about are Cliff and Jennifer.
Interesting. So it's like... Later on in the film, Rob and I, when we were watching it, we were talking about how they pulled focus by having Jennifer in white, and she was the only person on the dance floor in white, and it's actually a very common trick, because it pulls
your... It's a very theater thing to do.
Yeah, your eye is pulled towards that visual anomaly.
Right.
So basically, that's character. They tried to do the same thing with characters. They made everyone else so bland and milquetoast that it didn't matter. Interesting. Right. I don't know that that part worked very well.
I think it helps establish characters and establish kind of more of the feeling of the era. That whole scene is more of a like kind of a throwback, like a nostalgic look at like what the 30s were to those folks.
It's an interesting take on
granted, not the
FBI is that they're just a bunch of goons and not that much.
Well, back then they were
different.
They really were.
They still are.
No, now they're lawyers. Now you have to be a lawyer to be in the FBI.
That's true.
You know, so it's
you're
a little
different,
different
kind of gross.
Well, it's a little different. I wouldn't call them gross.
I know. FBI does we differ stuff. On law
so anyway,
enforcement.
Oh, and the visuals by this were done by Industrial Light and Magic.
I
so
am,
that's why they're
so why that's why it looks so good.
Yeah, that's why it
their
looks so
lighting,
good.
Man. Oh man, the part at the end, which I actually think I commented about, where he turns around and looks at her, and she's got that she's so glowy, the halo effect.
Now, see, and I believe in the comic, they actually said there's a lot of scenes here that were shot exactly as they appeared in the comic.
They look comic booky,
and like the one where he saves the guy,
but not like dumb comic booky.
Right. Well, the one where he saves the clown guy, the guy who's like, that's a shot for shot, like frame for frame, essentially, of the comic book scene.
Mm-hmm.
So like they did that, like they made sure. And the Zeppelin at the end.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So they shot
that was 100% right out of the comic.
So they shot no.
What?
No, it's a Nazi submarine. And they switched it to a Zeppelin for the movie.
Really?
And the rewrites.
That's so weird, though. Funny? I mean, it's such a it's just flight-oriented movie. I would think that a submarine, that just
well, he would have to escape the submarine, fly away, all that stuff. Because Nazis and U-boats, it's a big
oh,
trope.
That's true. It's true.
Not a whole lot of Zeppelins during World War II.
And it's also... That was my first thought. That was my first thought. How do you sneak in a Nazi Zeppelin to Los Angeles?
Well, radar wasn't a thing yet.
Yeah.
And they're really quiet if they're not close to the ground.
But you know what?
They're basically jellyfish of the sky. They just kind of bloop, bloop, bloop.
Here's the other thing about this kind of movie, though. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's a comic. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, you've already...
Why was there a 7'2" guy who...
You've already with a suspended with a wrench your disbelief. And again, that's what
you
I...
You know who that is, by the way.
No.
You've seen it before.
Okay, hold on. That's the kind of thing that I was talking about in the beginning. About this is what Disney does so well, that first scene where he gets the jetpack and mm-hmm. he's skipping across the water. Mm-hmm. He's like, wowie zowie. Like,
yeah. The consequences are high, but they never get to the point
there
where...
There are no stakes. The consequences
well,
are
I mean,
high,
they but... are, but it's not going to happen.
I mean...
It's like a 1 in 300 chance that he's going to die to us, but like in the movie, it's like, oh my God, you just nearly
skipped
death.
Right, but I mean... But that's the thing that makes kids want to strap jetpacks onto the back
that's
of their backs.
That's what makes kids want to buy these action figures.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know?
So, interesting. I do want to know who the large man is. But first I want to know, what do you think makes a superhero movie? What qualifies something as a superhero film?
For me? Okay. There has to be a person going beyond what a normal person could and or would do mm-hmm. in a given situation. And there has to be an arc. A superhero movie must have an arc. There has to be an unbeatable phase. There has to be a fall. And there has to be a penance or a comeuppance or a...
But that's the kind of standard story arc.
Yes. Well, not always. I mean, you could the beginning of it, not always. I mean... There's always a beginning, a middle, and end, your denouement, if you will.
I will.
But not every movie has that. I mean, you don't always have a hero movie. I mean, or a superhero movie. It could be just a regular, I mean...
Someone overcoming odds.
I mean, there's a movie called Sex Drive where the guy goes to meet up with a girl to have sex for the first time. That you could make that a hero movie. He could be the hero in that movie. However, he's not a superhero.
We've seen that movie.
It's fantastic.
It's not bad.
Oh, when he's dressed like a giant donut, it just makes my day. I'm sorry. I want that costume. I would wear that costume if I had it.
Yeah, you would.
Anyway.
Out with people.
Can we talk about interesting things about this movie?
Yes, please.
There is so much in this movie. So we've already talked about how it took 5 years.
Would you tell me who the large man is?
Oh, so you've seen all the Police Academy movies. That's Al. That's the really tall guy from the Police Academy movies. He's also the guy from Star Trek Next Generation who is Loaxana Troy's guy.
No.
He's been in a ton of stuff. He actually, I guess he was a basketball player. Yeah, he was a basketball player.
That makes sense. He's a basketball player.
7'2". Jeez, that's tall.
He's the personal assistant to my favorite character.
Ow. Ooh, my hip just popped.
And
I'm old.
Who is the mother of my least favorite character? Hate Loxana Troy. Deanna Troy. Hate Deanna Troy.
There's a bunch of nerds out there just screaming silent rage.
Yeah, because
Deanna.
It was more like Deanna's very tight suit.
Well, yeah, she was a counselor. Blech. She helped me get over a lot of my problems.
Oh, I'm sure. a lot of awakenings.
So
there were a lot of famous people in this film.
You mean actors, boys? Yes. Well, this was before they were huge. Like, well, you recognize the guy who played Howard Hughes? You're like, I know that guy. Well,
yeah,
Terry McGuinn. That's Locke from Lost.
That's Locke from Lost.
I mean, granted, he's done a lot of other stuff.
But
we just have a special place in our hearts.
For Mr. Locke because he is also the namesake of our dog.
Yes,
Locke Echo. Yep, we're nerds.
Yep, we are nerds in fact. Oh, the Zeppelin scene. Since we were talking about that just a minute ago, so they shot that in Six Flags, in California.
Okay.
On a Zeppelin sized thing. I don't know how they did it. Then they took it back to a studio and they built a 12-foot. So all the top stuff is actually a 12-foot replica.
Okay.
Of the Zeppelin and everything, including the special effects for that whole scene, $400,000 to blow up that Zeppelin.
Wow. I bet that was fun too.
Yeah, right. It's one of those things that's probably a one-off.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, you were asking about how this didn't do well. I'm sorry. I should have given you guys a little background. That's my bad. So, 1991, Rocketeer.
91. So, where were you in 91?
I was in first grade. Actually, this was June 21st. So, this was actually, I would have been going into second grade.
So, 91. I graduated in 96. So
this was 4 years before I started playing Magic the Gathering.
I don't think I
would. 2 years before it came out.
I don't want to do this movie anymore. So I graduated in 96, which means that I was going into high school in 92.
So it came out in
91. I was going into eighth grade.
Yeah. Well, this would have been the summer of 91. So.
Okay.
So you would have been going into whatever grade was after that grade. Like, I only remember 91. I would have been. Anyway, yeah, I think it's.
I went into high school. I was a freshman in 92, which means in 91 I would have been going into eighth grade.
Yeah, something like that. Anyway,
so. And you would have been going into first grade.
What? No, I think it's second grade. Anyway, shut up. It doesn't matter. Who cares? You're old. I got it. The thing that really hurts me is this has a 6.5 on IMDb, 65% on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 61% on Metacritic.
That's not bad. Which
makes me sad. Yeah, but that makes me sad. I mean, I get it. Like, not a whole lot of people may like it. Jesus, this dog is twitching. It had a budget. So check this out. So the original budget for the movie was $20 million.
Wow.
Disney loved what they were seeing when it actually was in production.
Okay.
So they kept upping the budget. Huh? Disney's like, we love this. Make more. They realized it was like, oh crap, this could be really good. So they only went 50 days over schedule
for the
whole
thing,
which is not bad at all. They don't have an actual tabulation. It was between $35 and $40 million, all said and done.
Okay.
To like from shoot to release, it only made 46.7 stateside.
Was it heavily marketed?
It was. Really? However, it actually came out fourth in the box office.
What else did it come up against?
Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Oh.
Beat it.
And you can't beat that soundtrack. That soundtrack. I was in theater camp. Oh, I was definitely going into ninth grade or eighth grade.
Imagine that, you're in theater camp.
Because I was in theater camp. And that stupid Bryan Adams song was just everywhere. This is actually a very Angelo moment because that is the kind of movie that everyone went to see because their mom wanted to see Kevin Costner.
Yeah, Kevin Costner was in
the movie. Yeah, their mom wanted to see Kevin Costner. So every kid in the universe got dragged to that film.
Oh, okay. Here we go. City Slickers and Dying Young also came out that year.
Oh, shit. City Slickers was a big movie.
Actually came out the same time. That was the same release date.
What was the other one? City Slickers and
Dying Young?
I don't know that one.
Joel Schumacher, Julia Roberts.
Oh, shit. Okay, so that was
God, they make her head look huge on the promotional poster.
Her head is huge.
Look at that.
Ew.
Yeah, no, that's bad. Oh, that's it's a bad
that
photo.
One. Okay.
Yeah, don't do that, people. Don't make your actresses' heads look massive.
All right, so it came up against...
It came up against some heavy hitters.
Against some heavy hitters.
So, speaking of Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, right?
Which, by the way, we just watched Robin Hood, Men in Tights.
Let me read you who originally was set to play Cliff, the main character.
Okay.
Kevin Costner.
No.
Matthew Modine.
Oh.
Dennis Quaid. These were people who actually read for the script. Kurt Russell.
No.
Bill Paxton.
Maybe.
Emilio Estevez.
No.
And the front runner, Johnny Depp.
Oh. Oh.
The director was told by Disney they needed an A-list actor to be the lead. He convinced them that they didn't want that because they'd have to pay them that A-list, but they wanted somebody new and fresh that people hadn't seen yet.
Yeah. Because that would be then their money-making star.
Exactly. And then, of course, they have all the characters, you know.
So who did get the role? Who played that role?
His name is...
And what else has he done?
Bill Campbell. He has done a lot of TV shows. He was in Family Ties. He was in Dynasty.
I didn't watch Dynasty.
Oh, okay. I'm surprised on that. He was in Star Trek Next Generation. He was in Frasier and Eureka. He has, like, recurring roles. He's more of a TV actor.
Okay.
But it has a very long list of TV shows.
He is a hunky piece of white meat.
Well, I didn't write them all down, but he has a really long running character on Dynasty.
Interesting.
But he's more known for his TV work.
Interesting. Because he has that very much. Him and both Jennifer Connelly, I know that Jennifer Connelly, I mean, she's been in Labyrinth. She was in Blah Blah Spotless Mind.
I love The Labyrinth. That's another one of my favorite
movies. Oh my God. Oh my God, yes. Here's a thing.
She reminds me of the babe.
What babe?
The babe with the power.
What power?
The power of voodoo.
You do?
Voodoo.
Do what? We could literally do that all night. The only thing I don't like about Labyrinth is when the Muppets take off their heads and roll them around. I am not here for that. I am in my 40s. I still don't fucking like it.
You know what I forgot she was in? I know she was in The Hulk. She was in The Day the Earth Stood Still, the Keanu Reeves remake.
Didn't see it.
Oh, God, it was so good. I love the original. And I am probably one of the few people out there that actually thought the remake was actually really good. Plus, Keanu Reeves makes a very good alien.
I can see that. I can see that.
Klaatu. Klaatu Baratha Nikto.
So Bill Campbell, I know that name, though.
Yeah, he makes soups.
Uh-huh.
No.
Yeah, Bill Campbell.
Name actually was my old insurance agent for my car.
Yes, it was. Also.
Not anymore because he's a jerk.
No. No, he retired.
Yeah, that's why. That's why he's a jerk. I didn't want to have to switch people. Kidding me? I was happy. I was fine. I was just happy with what I had at home. I don't like change. I don't carry change.
No one carries change. That's why the government wants to buy it.
And then, of course, Alan Arkin, the old guy.
Aki?
No, the Pops. They call them Pop or Dads. Dad? Pops?
Whatever. Oh, yeah.
Peabody. And you know him from Catch 22, Edward Scissorhands, Glenn Ross.
That's something that we should watch because I am a big Mammoth fan, but I have never seen that
really?
Film.
Mm-mm. Okay, I'll put it on the list. And of course, So I Married an Axe Murderer, he was in that movie. I have to mention that movie because I love that movie.
I love that soundtrack because my favorite band at the time, Ned's Atomic Dust Band, who no one else has ever heard of.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Anyway.
And then staying with the actors, we have Timothy Dalton, who played Neville Sinclair. Timothy Dalton, he's the bad guy.
I don't know who he is.
Yeah, you do know who he is. He was in Flash Gordon, American Outlaw, Hot Fuzz. He was the grocery store owner in Hot Fuzz.
Okay.
Jesus. Toy Story 3 and 4, he was in Scarlet. He played Rhett Butler in the Scarlet miniseries. It was the
Scarlet
Miniseries. Oh, Jesus. It was a TV miniseries. Doctor Who. You never watch Doctor Who.
I don't watch
Doctor Who. He's also on Penny Dreadful. He's very famous.
Okay.
He's a very good actor. His character, Neville Sinclair.
Which one was that?
That's the actor, the bad guy.
Oh, the Nazi spy. Yeah.
So his character was based on Errol Flynn's
fake
biography.
Oh.
Because the guy who wrote it claimed that Errol Flynn was a Nazi spy and did all this stuff. That character is what they based that on. And because none of that had been refuted yet, like that made it into the film. And that's kind of what made it feel
that's crazy.
Realistic. So, yeah. This was before all that stuff was refuted.
Didn't W.C. Fields, maybe it was someone else, but I think, didn't W.C. Fields rape someone with a bottle?
That sounds terrible.
Was terrible. They were terrible people in Hollywood at this time.
Well, that's right, Sugar Plum. I'm prepared to listen to you tell your story, your whole life story.
He is also what the Penguin is based off of,
yes.
Is he not?
Yes, he is. That's.
Are you proud of me for knowing
that? Oswald Cobblepot.
Are you proud of me?
Yeah. The original Penguin, not the newer one. That was the
not the Adam Danny DeVito West. Penguin.
Yeah, no, the Adam West.
Right, no, the original Penguin.
Commodore Schmidlap, as he goes in the movie. Calls himself Commodore Schmidlap.
No one which is a great should name. Call themselves that. It's a terrible name.
Okay, and so the cinematographer for this was Hiro Narita.
Yes.
He did Honey, I Shrunk the Kids and Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country.
Can we I tell you something?
We don't fault him for that. That movie was terrible.
What movie?
Star Trek VI.
Oh, yeah.
Not fun.
But everyone has their bad days. Yes. Honey, I Shrunk the Kid 2 was written by Neil Gaiman, and it's so bad that he changed his name and had it taken off of it.
Nice. Nice. So there was a lot of infighting. That's why this movie took so long to actually make.
That's wild.
Disney had a lot of creative differences. They like the NASA helmet thing. There was the director had to come in and convince them otherwise. They also wanted an A-list actress.
But you know what though? Here's the thing.
A certain actress they wanted for the Jennifer Connelly part. There's actually rumors. This is not rumors. There's actually like talk and like when I was doing my research and my reading, Cliff and the Jennifer character and Campbell and Connelly, did like a method acting kind of thing. So they were almost dating during this movie to make it more realistic. Mm. I say dating and I'm putting air quotes up.
No, I know, but that's kind
of
concerning.
So both of them, I think, were into the method acting thing, but not like so far into it that
she would have been 21, so it would have been consensual. So there are three bits that I would like to address. First of all,
okay, address them. Wear your dress. Whose dress is that?
Yeah, exactly. That is why did Cliff have ladies' dresses?
That wasn't closet? Cliff. That was Neville Sinclair.
Why did Neville? Guy.
He's a Nazi.
Okay.
Why do Nazis do anything?
But he had ladies' dresses, yeah. And they were very nice. But
he's a Hollywood actor.
Yes, but he didn't wear them. They weren't his size.
We also don't know who else lived there. He may have had a mistress.
You don't keep your mistress's clothes in your closet. In your
you do when you have crazy square column. I don't know. I don't have one, and I don't have that much money. I don't have enough money to buy ladies' dresses.
And there were two boob shots. There were two obvious boob shots, which for 91 is not that bad, actually. The soup boob shot and then the W.C. Fields boob shot.
Yeah, well.
And there, yes, we discussed this a little bit while we were watching the film, but there were no black or brown people in this movie.
The not closest thing was one of the Valentine gang.
I think he was Italian.
He looked Puerto Rican to me. He looked darker than an Italian. Well, I guess the Sicilians could be dark, but he didn't look Italian to me.
There were no
black. He looked like a New York, like, out of the Bronx kind of guy. Not a lived out in California. That's actually what kind of threw me off, too, is, like, they're very, like, East Coast thuggish, but they're living in the valley. They should have been like, whoa, dude. Where's the rocket, man?
Well, don't forget, a lot of those gangsters came from New York
to
California because of the film industry.
Well, you gotta follow the money.
Well, yeah, also that, but they were hired by the film people as the muscle. And those film people came from theater in New York because true. Theater's better, but. And our criminals are better.
Our criminals just get elected.
Yeah. Can I tell you something? And this is a very, very modern thing, very COVID-y thing. But this,
only if you get closer to your microphone.
This scene.
Just talk into it.
Literally right in my face.
Yeah, that's where it's supposed to be.
This scene where they're in the movie theater and they're all so close to each other. Oh, it made me very uncomfortable.
It was a better time back then.
It was a better time because we're recording this in COVID and you can't be close to anyone. But like watching
that's why I'm not sitting near you. Get away from me.
Oh, shut up. But watching that, like there's literally sitting on top of each other. I was like,
It's interesting that because Disney actually wanted this to be a contemporary movie. They wanted it set in the 90s.
Oh, it wouldn't have worked at
and
all.
They convinced them to keep it. And the reason they convinced them was they were like, look at Raiders of the Lost Ark. Like, look at Indiana Jones and like those movies where it's like a period piece. Like, it does really well.
Period piece.
Well, not only that, but like, you can like, and it's a sci-fi, I guess you'd call it sci-fi. I wouldn't really call it sci-fi. But you can get away with a lot more. Like, oh, it's 30s this and 30s right. that. You
well,
know,
and
you
also in the 90s, a jetpack. No one cares about that.
That's true. We were worried about dinosaurs in the 90s.
Right. Like, and walking our dinosaur.
Do, 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 do. Oh, yeah. We should watch Mario Brothers.
What?
Oh, Bob Hoskins and John Leguizamo. Super Mario Brothers.
No, it's I know so the movie.
It's so I'm bad. Confused. I love it, though. Poor Bob Hoskins, I'm
assuming. I'm confused why you want me to watch it again, or now why we're talking about it.
Because he's a dinosaur. It's walking dinosaurs.
Yeah.
That song is in the movie.
Oh, that's right. It is.
There's the club scene.
Oh, God. It's the best part of that terrible movie.
Because Big Bertha is the bouncer at the... Yeah. And I forget what the club name is. It's not the Boom Boom Room.
No.
I can't remember now. There's like the one person who's an idiot like me, and they're like, oh, we gotta love that movie. Cup of coins. I need cup of coins.
So, for a superhero, he's kind of lame. He's
almost an anti-hero.
But I mean.
But he's definitely going out like for the right reasons.
They would, yes. And I mean, again, he's very American and he's going to save the girl, but they would have needed to jack him up or change him or give him something else. Had they developed this into a superhero franchise? Because just have...
Well, there were sequels. There was actually a TV show that came out last year. There's a series that was The Rocketeer on Disney+.
Really?
Plus.
We might have to watch that. But, I mean, if you're just strapping jet engines to the back of your butt, meh.
I like the idea.
Flying a rocket but back also...
On. Hey, he was the original
Your Achilles
Iron Man.
Heel is gum.
Oh, fun fact about this, too, that the actor is scared of heights. Scared of flying. The guy who plays Cliff is afraid of flying.
Now we need to watch the other Howard Hughes movie.
The Aviator?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, so long and boring.
Really?
Yeah.
This was...
That's so long and boring.
Okay, so, all right, that's fine. This was Lucas's favorite movie.
So that ends our podcast.
No, stop it. Lucas is my ex-boyfriend. He has hair just like this movie, and he literally wanted to be the Rocketeer, and it's his favorite movie because Howard Hughes is his favorite person because they're both Looney Tunes.
Here's a fun thing. The girlfriend character, the Jennifer Connelly character,
yes.
was they actually had to change it because she was more of a Betty Page. She was actually a nude model, and they changed it to a Hollywood extra. And made her less of a damsel in distress and less of a demure thing. Like, if you notice, she actually has a pretty
She's
powerful...
pretty badass.
For a woman in the late 30s, right?
Yes.
I mean, considering the era that they're in. They actually made her more of a...
more powerful?
A powerful figure. Yeah.
Interesting.
And so she's less of a damsel, and there's less of a, I gotta save the princess, and more of a, I'm trying to right the... They're trying to, like...
Right the wrongs.
Not even right the wrongs, but, like, if you think about this character... He's just caught up in a situation that, one, he didn't start, and two, he can't control. He's literally, like, just, it's almost as if, like, it has its hand on his back and it's just pushing him forward. And he has no choice other than go forward or fall down. You know? Like, he doesn't get a moment to breathe. I think this only takes place over 2 days, three days maybe. And it's literally just pushing him forward. It's like, okay, boom, your plane gets shot up at the beginning of the movie. You crash, almost die. You find a rocket pack. Then you realize these goons are after you. You don't know who they are. And then your girlfriend gets kidnapped by a Nazi spy while they're at a nice restaurant. I mean, what if you're at the Olive Garden and suddenly a Nazi grabs you? You know what I'm saying?
Wait a minute. Let's define nice restaurants. I really love the Bulldog Cafe.
Yeah, I think there should have been more dog in there. That's for
sure. I know. More bulldogs.
I don't even know what his name is. I love the fact that they have a special spot in the bulldog's head. Like, there's a
yes,
room up
a
there.
A little room up there, a little apartment.
Yeah.
But I love that whole, like, I guess concrete.
No, it would have been plaster.
Was it?
Yeah, it would have been concrete.
I love it. I think more buildings should be shaped like different things. like buildings are shaped too much like buildings, and they need to be shaped like other things.
Particularly diners. Yes. In the countryside.
I mean, there is that one Dino World. Doesn't that have buildings that are shaped like dinosaurs?
No, you're thinking of the Gatorland.
Oh, yes.
Another Florida staple. Mm-hmm. If you're ever down here, go to Gatorland. It's pretty awesome. I mean, awesomely bad, but it's great. And there's it's like, it is exactly what you think it is.
There's Chimpland, too.
Yeah.
Which
and Dinosaur World is actually pretty cool, too. I missed that place. It was a cool place. We used to hang out there. And you can take your dog, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can. Because there's no real dinosaurs.
I don't think that's why you can take your dog. I think they're just dog friendly.
Are you gonna tell them about
I don't think it's because there's no dinosaurs.
We got one of my favorite stuffed toys there. His name is Trevor.
Yeah. He's a cool little dinosaur. He's a little messed up. He's the one that shouldn't have made it off the assembly line, but he's pretty awesome. He's got like three rows of teeth.
It's like, he's amazing.
It's stitched sideways. He's actually pretty awesome.
But like his eyes are yeah, it's crooked.
He's a bit of a wonky dinosaur. Love him. Named after one of my best friends from back in college because he was a bit wonky.
His eyes were awesome.
No, his eyes were fine.
He had three rows of teeth.
He was just he's just a goofy dude. I love him. He and I had a lot of fun together in college. A lot of my stories from college either involve him, alcohol, or the two together. And he didn't even drink. He wasn't really? He didn't touch a drop. He was just so funny. He was just one of those people that if you never met him, if I told you stories, you'd be like, this guy does not exist. Like
people feel that way about you. Felt that way about you.
Yeah, felt that way about me. Yeah, but
most of Tallahassee.
He's just one of those dudes who's like, I'm glad I knew him, you know? Like, my life is better from having known him.
Aww. If this were that scene, he would be standing, he would turn around. And
then
I
realize I'm not the father?
No. If this were this movie, Trevor would be in the halo light.
Oh, yeah.
Standing next to an airplane. I really think the reason that you like this film so much is because of all the pretty trucks, though, all the period.
I gotta tell you, that is definitely high on my list of reasons I like this movie. It's because there's all those cars. I mean, like the Model A's, which have, at that point would have only been 20 years old, 15, 20 years old. You know, they got all those gorgeous pickup trucks from the era. The planes themselves are like, I mean, that's back when, like, vehicles were art. You know, it was like, okay, this
and
is functional.
And you can literally build an airplane yourself.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't.
This is functional, but it's beautiful. You know, and like, I mean, you have that problem nowadays where like all the SUVs out on the road today look the same because they're trying to meet aerodynamics. And like, there's a finite amount of stuff you can do to a car and not make it look different.
I almost got in a RAV4 the other day thinking it was my car.
Wow.
Which is stupid because we actually used to have a RAV4.
Yeah, a long time ago.
But it looked like a Rav. Ravi.
Yeah, it was a good car. You know, so.
Are we done with this film?
What are you doing? Oh, picking up hair. Well, I mean, is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
It was just a light and I loved it and I would watch it 100 more times.
Yeah, it's a great film.
It's a great film.
It's fun. It's stupid. You can just put it on. You don't have to think a lot about it. I did like your face though when you realized Neville Sinclair's a Nazi, and I think that reveal is just so good. Even it's like I mean like you could put that in like a block. Well, I guess kind of was a block, but you could put that in like a major film, and that still would work.
Yeah.
You know?
Also.
The sliding bookcase, and you're like, why does he have a moving bookcase?
Right.
And you go in and you're like, oh, there's a weird, oh, maybe he's just some kind of crazy guy. He's got the scientist drawings and he's got a radio there. But everybody had a radio back in the 30s.
Exactly.
And then she gets on there and she's like, and then she looks, she's like, a Nazi book. I wish it said Nazi book on the front of it.
And they did not call him a Nazi.
They said, did at the end.
Yes. But he said, I'm a fascist. I'm a something. I'm
spy.
I'm a...
What did he say? He said, what about... I'm what? A spy. Saboteur. Fascist. All of the above.
But never
I can't do a Timothy Dalton voice very well.
You know what else I loved?
It wouldn't have worked if he was like Australian. No. Am I spy? Saboteur. Fascist. All of the above? It doesn't work. If he was like a Scot.
You need to do accents.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, that movie wouldn't work either.
Do it.
With my spy, saboteur, fascist, all of the above, nine, I'm not. It's not me. I didn't do it. Someone else has been here. I don't even have books. What are these books? They taste terrible.
No.
Kidding. I love Arnold Schwarzenegger. I will watch anything he's in.
He's probably one of the better California governors of record.
I've been on an Arnold Schwarzenegger kick of late.
Yes, he is.
Just so you know how weird I am, I play video games with a bunch of buddies of mine, and they were talking about Arnold Schwarzenegger and like hosting a some kind of like telethon or something. And I was like, we were talking about for ducks for some. It has to do with the game, and there's a thing called ducats. That's a word, but we call them duckies. And then I was like, duckies sounds like we were something for the duckies. And I was like, that sounds like a telethon. And then I was like, it'd be great if Arnold Schwarzenegger was like the person leading this telethon. He's like, come support the duckies, you know? And then and someone was like, what if it's Arnold Schwarzenegger, like naming ducks. And so I went and looked up all of the ducks, and I have a list of 130 different breeds or like species of ducks.
And so real ducks.
And so for like 15 minutes on headset last night, while we were just messing around, I'm sitting there reading down the list of like mallards and blue teals, just different kind of ducks for 15 minutes doing a stupid, horrible Arnold Schwarzenegger impression. I'm sorry, but just reading about ducks. I've just been on this kick lately. I don't know why. And I'm not even drinking.
I know.
Completely sober.
This is why I think that you should resume your Twitch stream.
But I should do it only talking about ducks. I should just do the entire thing just reading duck names while I'm streaming. So people tune in and they're like, he's playing a game. I'm like, what? Is he ducks? What? I think, did he say Mandarin ducks? What?
Mandarin ducks.
That's a duck. Mandarin. I have the list. I will show you. That's a type of, there's mallard, Mandarin. I literally have alphabetical order 130 different types of ducks.
I do not doubt it at all, my love.
Hey, when I do something stupid, all right, I do it to the max.
10 years.
And then you're talking about Christopher Walken, like joining. You know how they always have like guests joining?
Yes.
It's like, Arnold, tell me, how can someone who doesn't know about ducks help out in the situation, maybe donate the time or maybe some dollars to support this cause, which is near and dear to my heart? And that's a terrible one.
This
I'm sorry.
This is stupid. But if we're going down this road, because we've completely abandoned the Rocketeer.
But imagine them in this movie, though. That's what I'm saying. Like,
that's amazing.
They wouldn't fit. I love it.
You know who else I would like to see? I'm trying to remember his name. It's your Bobcat.
I'm not going to say that. I've been told I need to keep my voice, my stuff cleaner. And his name is not appropriate for this podcast.
I don't remember. Is his name not appropriate?
No.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, no, wait a minute.
No, not at all.
Sparkle poop. Sparkle poop.
All right,
anyway.
Shh. All right, so what was your, on a scale of 1 to 10, The Rocketeer?
I give it like a 15.
Yeah, it's solid. I don't know, like a 15. It's a solid 7, 8, 9.
Yeah. Because it's the kind of film.
Yep, add those together. I'm just kidding.
No. It's the kind of film, if I'm cleaning, I could put it on.
It's definitely a film, like, you know, it's fun to watch. And, like, it's one of those things you can just kind of put on. And I think most people would join you in watching. And, like, if you had, like, friends over and you were like, hey, let's just put something stupid on while we're cooking. Or we're doing something else. Like, it could totally be on the background and you'd probably stop and watch most of it. But it's not.
And I think a lot of people our age would say, I remember this film.
And, you know, it's funny, too, because I bet you, like, a lot of our friends would be like, we would put it on, and they wouldn't know, like, right away, like, it wouldn't click, and then they'd see it, and then they would remember it, and they'd be right. Like, oh, I love this movie, you know? I haven't seen this in years. And I'm like, well, that's because you're a loser, and you don't watch movies like I do. Hey, I just realized there was a bulldog on our wall.
Yeah.
We need to find out where any of that cafe was, and it was just Bulldog Cafe, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's Winston. He's got a name. It's Winston the Bulldog.
Oh, man, that is a good name.
Yeah, because he's an English Bulldog.
That is a very good name for an English Bulldog.
He's been on our wall since December.
We'll fight him in the backyard, on the side yard,
pass by that on the porch. Wall.
We'll fight them in the streets.
We've been quarantined for 5 months in this house. Did you just realize he's there? He's been there since December.
I never look at that wall.
Yeah. No, it's the wall next to outside.
I know, but I'm not a dog, so outside isn't like, like my hind end doesn't wiggle when I think about outside.
It does, kind of.
A little bit.
Especially after 5 months of quarantine. We've
been stuck inside for a long time. That's been a day. Okay, so let's wrap this up. Film Nerds and Noobs pod. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. It's Film Nerds Pod all over the social. So look up Film Nerds Pod. That's us. I think.
Yes. Right? Film okay. Nerds Pod.
There you go. You have questions, comments, recipes.
Ooh, we love a recipe.
Pictures of dogs.
We love pictures of
or
dogs.
Or animals or bunnies. Send them our way. Carrie, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry you're not on this one. Like I said, this was kind of like impromptu. I love you, and you're my best friend ever. And I got to make fun of you the other day while she was doing work stuff from home.
I'm not your best friend ever?
Oh, really?
Really?
My best friend ever who's not married to me. How about that?
What about Angelo?
I'm not married to him either.
Yeah, you're kind of are. You're a little bit are.
So, Jesus Christ, this went way off the rails. So, what else do you want to say to the people at home?
If 2020 was a podcast episode, it was this episode. This is the 2020 of episodes. Yeah, it's awesome.
Stay safe out there, everybody.
Stay safe.
Wear your masks.
Wear your masks.
Wash your hands.
Oh, no, stop. Stop, stop, stop. Don't wear masks. Wear these helmets. Get Rocketeer helmets and wear them instead. Yeah.
But they have open mouths. Like, I can't, I don't know.
They don't have to.
If they're Rocketeer helmets, they do.
Where?
Why don't you just tell people to wear motorcycle helmets?
Because that's not as cool. But why couldn't you?
Never mind.
Our dear, dear friend.
Never mind. Never mind. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Darth Vader helmet.
Are you calling me a Darth Vader helmet?
I'm saying. <You're> just... Our dear friend, who I'm not allowed to say their name.
French beret. What are you just naming things?
We know some...
Pedestal fan.
Shut up. We know someone who wears a Darth Vader helmet. Out.
What?
Our friend in Portland.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I don't know how to feel about that.
You do, because they're...
I don't know if that's awesome or scary.
A little bit of both. That person was actually...
I don't think I'm into anything enough to do something like that. Like, I don't have, like a thing...
Yeah, you're more like a generalist nerd.
Yeah, I don't know that I have anything that I would just be like, oh, I gotta wear that outside. Here's my, my space cowboy outfit.
Also, that person...
There are no cows in space.
Moo. No. Space cows. That person, and I don't know how they did this, was at a Portland Sounders game watching it from home, but their family made it onto the Jumbotron from home, so like shut them in their living room, and our friend...
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, but our friend was wearing his Darth Vader mask.
Perfect.
Yeah. So you see his kids, his wife, and then this idiot in a mask.
He's anonymous. They won't know where he is now. Anyway, okay, we're done.
Anyway.
We're done.
Shout out to everyone.
So, go watch Rocketeer. It's worth your time. If you haven't seen it, it's a great flick. It's mindless. You don't have to really do too much. If you do remember it, I bet you there's a lot of nostalgia here because this movie is fantastic.
And the hair is so good.
A lot of good hair.
A lot of good hair. A lot of good faces. A lot of good bleeding.
Yeah, a lot of good bleeding.
Yeah.
Keep your clothes on.
Okay, bye.
Button's really far away. Can I reach it?
Get the dog to do it.